It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The third hour of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back and happy Friday to all of you, my dear, dear friends. Yes, indeed, we are getting down on a Friday morning. And most importantly of all, College Football Eve, people, it is here. It is upon us tomorrow. The season gets started in earnest when the Seminoles of Florida State get it going against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets live from Dublin, Ireland. It's going to be a banger. I can't say banger after banger after banger after banger because every game after that, the point spreads are all in like the upper 20s. But yeah, but I don't care. Give me competitive football for the love of God.
But using that terminology makes sense because the guest picker is going to be Sheamus.
It is going to be Sheamus. That is correct. But
and he's flying over there on McAfee's jet with him. He was on the show yesterday, and I'm like, why is he on the show? But he's flying on the jet, on McAfee's jet over there. So,
tell me that wouldn't be a party of a plane ride. A party of a plane ride with Pat McAfee and Sheamus. It's just, it's too bad that it's WWE legend Sheamus as the guest picker, Alonzo, because I have been told many, many times that nobody likes wrestling. Nobody likes it. So I don't know why. No, I don't know why in the world they would go with a wrestler when nobody likes wrestling.
It's real men don't like wrestling is what I've been told.
But the text line has told me.
But by people who watch. Who watch The Bachelor and stuff like that. Those real men. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Sheamus, your guest picker on game day tomorrow. Of course, speaking of Pat, he has called his last WWE show for the year as he will be moving over full-time to College Game Day throughout the college football season, which makes sense. That's the right spot for him to be in, as much as I actually do enjoy him on WWE. Yeah, game day's the right way to go. All of that being said, I would go with this. I don't care who you put on it. Just put it on my damn television, please and thank you. I'm begging you. Shane says, the land of my people, bangers and mash. I do like some bangers and mash. There's one place back home that makes excellent bangers and mash.
Okay,
and,
what is that, alcohol or is that food?
No, it's food. It's effectively sausage, gravy, and mashed potatoes that you eat for breakfast, and it's delightful.
I just happen to know a guy from Ireland. I'm going to have to ask him about that tomorrow.
Oh, bangers and mash is untouchable. It's a wonderful meal. You got to have, see, the problem is, for it to be proper bangers and mash, and a delightful bangers and mash, you got to have a good brown onion gravy with it. And a lot of people don't make the gravy well. A lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with this because, you know, in America, when we think gravy, great one, like ordinarily we think of gravy with like a much thicker consistency, right? Like a good Southern white gravy, good sausage gravy, usually got a good thick consistency to it. The onion gravy for bangers and mash is a lot thinner. It's a lot more of a watery gravy, but you make that, you dip those bangers into that sausage gravy, and it's a different ball game, man. It's a different ball game. And now I'm very hungry.
I am texting someone to find out if they know how to make that and if they will make it.
My grandma makes some mean bangers and mash. Mean bangers and mash. Which I love. I miss bangers and mash now. Not any bangers and mash. All right, let's get to some more sports, shall we? Lonzo, we now know for a fact that Dave Canales, head coach of the Carolina Panthers, is indeed a member of the Rob Brown Show Armada. Why? Because yesterday, it was officially announced that the Carolina Panthers will indeed play their starters coming up Sunday against the Buffalo Bills.
I do believe that one I think it's tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
I think it's tomorrow night. Yes.
I should have my schedule memorized. Listen, it's college football. Tomorrow's just college football day for me. All right. It just is. Tonight, Jacksonville at Atlanta, Miami at Tampa, San Francisco at the Raiders at 10 o'clock tonight. You are correct. It is Saturday afternoon. Great one when the Carolina Panthers take on the Buffalo Bills, 1 p.m. from Orchard Park in upstate New York. But the starters will play in this game. That was announced yesterday by the coaching staff. There also was a move yesterday. Michael Barrett, the rookie, traded to the Seahawks in return for cornerback Michael Jackson, who is now a new Carolina Panther. A straight up player for player swap gives both teams a chance to look at a player who was probably a fringe 53-man player, but Seattle in much better spot at the defensive back, Carolina in a much better spot at the linebacker. So they basically traded a pair of young fringe players, each of them picking up a spot of weakness in return for a spot of strength to see if either can end up making the team. Michael Jackson, a fifth-round pick out of the Cowboys camp in 2019, has also been with the Lions and Patriots, did play in all 17 games last year, was on the field for 40% of the Seahawks' defensive snaps as a effectively nickelback. Barrett out of Michigan in the seventh round drafted by Carolina this year, a 24-year-old who spent 6 years playing for now Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, played 61 games that the Michigan Wolverines won. He is the most winningest Michigan Wolverine of all time, and now he is a Seattle Seahawk. But the story that proves that Dave Canales is indeed a member of the Rob Brown Show Armada is that the great one, for a week now, has been begging, has been pleading, has been asking, has been putting out into the universe that he wants to see Bryce Young and the starters for this Panther offense coming up this weekend against Buffalo. And now we know that we will. Now, how much time? IDK, as the kids say. But Dave Canales announced yesterday afternoon that the plan is for Bryce Young and the starters to, quote, see time, end quote, against the Bills. To this point, Young has not taken a single preseason snap, nor have most of the expected starters. But Canales told reporters they will get this start, though he would not put a minimum or maximum time on the field for how long they would play. He said how long they play would be based on, quote, feel, end quote. But he said that they will play long enough to, Lonzo, quote, get sweaty, end quote.
That's good to know.
I mean, I get it, right?
Where they're now, playing is probably kind of cool in the afternoon, so it might take them a little while to get sweaty. Just say it.
As somebody who is large and out of shape, that just means to me that the Carolina Panthers will walk up one flight of stairs and then they'll be checking out of this game. But I suspect that top-notch NFL players are in slightly better shape than a 40-year-old fat radio host. So he's probably you'll probably see them. I would expect at least 3 to 4 series.
You know, that, or if they come out and they drive down the field and score a touchdown, then you can stop. More than likely, that's not going to happen, but it might.
What would, great one, since obviously the reason this is happening is Dave Canales heard you pleading for him to make it happen. What would make you happy tomorrow to see out of the starters? Is it just, is it mastery of the offense? Is it successful fundamentals? Is it something that's a little more than just vanilla play call? Like, what are you looking for?
Well, first of all, I'm looking at Bryce Young's feet. I'm looking at how protected he is. Is he nervous? Does he actually have a pocket? What do the receivers look like running their routes? I'm not worried about the defense as much because they're not going against the starting offense on the other side. So I want to see what all that looks like, and then I'll be happy. But I did hear something earlier. I heard it quoted, and I didn't look for the quote, but I heard it quoted that Dave Canales said that they finally got a grasp of the offense, and that's why they're playing. That concerns me. I mean, I get it's a brand new offense. I completely get that. But if it's taken this long to get a grasp of the offense enough that he's willing to put them on the field, that's not good.
Well, I would have a couple of responses to that. The first would be, let's not forget that you have two groups of players here. You have guys like Xavier Leggett that are first year in the program. And you have a couple of guys like, Damian Lewis and Robert Woods that, even though they are NFL veterans, it is also their first year in the program. Then you have a second group of guys that have been with the program, but in a story that we gave you earlier this week, and yet another unnecessary defense that I should not have to make of Bryce Young, but I did anyway. The story came out earlier this week and has yet to be refuted that last year the Carolina Panthers changed their offense in entirety no less than three times.
Which is why you should be good at adapting to new offenses, should be ready to go, because you got a lot of practice at changing offenses last year.
That's not how it works at all. If you have ever had the pleasure of looking at an NFL offensive playbook, they're about that thick. All right. They're about yay thick. They're about 3.5-4 inches tall. It's not easy.
I don't want to be that guy, but my understanding is they don't use playbooks anymore. Almost everywhere they use iPads. But I know they used to be really thick.
I like how I at least appreciate you saying, I don't want to be that guy, before you were that guy. I appreciate you at least putting that out there.
That's how that's done, right? That's how you're supposed to do that.
Yeah. No disrespect, but that butt carries a lot of weight, all right? It's a big butt. It's a Sir Mix-a-Lot size butt is what that is. So I am not surprised, because a lot of these cats are on this team for the first time. So they are not just learning the playbook, but they are learning about the franchise as a whole. Number two is, Dave Canales is an offensive guy. Dave Canales is a guy that I expected from the rip, it was going to take some amount of time for guys to learn the Dave Canales offense. I don't think Dave runs an offense that I would be happy to describe as simple. Yes, it does not shock me that it took some time to learn the playbook. I expect that, assuming this team doesn't suck so bad that Dave Canales gets canned after less than one full year at the helm. But I would expect that next year would be different, a year in which the playbook is known, a year in which these guys come in aware of what the Dave Canales way looks like, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think that I am taking an optimistic viewpoint here by saying that doesn't concern me all that much, because everything is new for everybody. It is Dave Canales not just bringing a new playbook, but it is also Dave Canales in the highest authority position he's ever had. It is one thing for certain to be an offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach that installs and runs the offense, but everything still runs through the HC. It is another thing entirely to be the HC. It is one thing for Bryce Young to learn an all-new offense and playbook. It is another thing for a guy that has now learned no fewer than three other playbooks. Sorry. Play iPads in his career to suddenly have to learn number four. NFL offenses are complicated. NFL offenses for quarterbacks are like brain surgery. You don't just show up on day one and get it. There's a reason med schoolers go to med school for like 4 years before they're allowed to talk to a patient. It's hard. It ain't easy. There's a lot of intricacies, a lot of things that change that roll over here and there. So I get it. Yes, I would like to think that at this point, after this long of an offseason, after this much camp, after Canales and Dan Morgan and co. have been in charge since back in, what was it, late February, early March, that Bryce Young has had a lot of time looking through his play iPad. But to get out there on the football field and to do it is something entirely different. I won't panic. I will say this. If I watch this game tomorrow, because it'll be DVR'd, because it's on at the same time as Georgia Tech, Florida State, and I'm watching football, okay? But if I DVR this game, and I run this game back on Sunday, and I watch this game on Sunday, and the offense looks like it is confused, if the reads are bad, I'm not even particularly worried about the reads being, you know, the delivery and all that. That's going to come with full speed, rhythm, routine, getting into it, doing it, right? It's one thing to go out there and hit balls on the driving range. It's another thing to stand on the first tee box and be staring down a fairway with a 20-foot wide landing area. Now you got to do it. It's a difference. Provided the offense looks like it knows what it's doing, provided the fundamentals are there, provided the reads are good, even if the execution is not, then I'll be happy. That's all I'm looking for. Show me that the knowledge is there, the understanding is there. Show me that you get it. And if you get it, then we'll be in real good shape. If you understand the play iPad, if you get the play iPad, if you are going through the play iPad and you are getting it right, I can worry about the execution later. I can worry about the throws later. Just make sure you show me what it is. Steven says, Bryce, please be good this season. I can't handle another season of Rob's excuses of why you're not. Steven, there are things that are reasons and there are things that are excuses. I am giving you reasons that it went sideways last year, not excuses.
Welcome to year number five, Bryce Young's rookie year.
Welcome to year number two, Bryce Young's rookie year. If he doesn't have it by year five, I will comfortably say it's time to move on. All right? Comfortably say it's time to move on. It's year two, and my man spent last year inside of a dirty diaper of a franchise. It's going to be better. Watch. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. The Fan Upstate. It is Friday. Friday. Got to get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. I believe a wonderful American poet, Rebecca Black, once told us that it is Friday, Friday, and we do indeed got to get down on Friday, Friday. So get down, we shall, my dear friends. Robin the Great Malonzo with you. Very quick story here in the world of NASCAR is that we do have a bit of a short segment. The number 11 Joe Gibbs Racing Team and Denny Hamlin were issued an L2 level penalty for violating NASCAR's engine inspection requirements. That's what the sanctioning body announced yesterday. I'm not going to get into all of the specific rules, but suffice to say, Hamlin and Joe Gibbs were each docked 75 points and 10 playoff points. Crew chief Chris Gabehart was fined $100,000. One NASCAR rule states that all race-winning engines must be long block sealed by NASCAR and completely inspected by NASCAR before the engine may be disassembled by the team. If the team chooses to use the long block sealed race engine again before being inspected, the engine must be used in the same vehicle number the next time it is used. According to NASCAR, that did not happen. And the seals placed on the engine that must be removed only with approval from NASCAR were not done correctly. The penalties leveled against Hamlin and the number 11 team are the lowest L2 level penalties permissible according to the rule book. Additionally, Hamlin's Bristol win will no longer count toward eligibility for the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs, advancement in the playoffs, or eligibility for non-points events and tiebreakers. Hamlin is a three-time race winner in 2024, so he is still locked into the playoffs, but the penalty drops Hamlin from third in the regular season standings to sixth, which effectively eliminates him from contention to win the regular season championship, along with all of the accolades, awards, and bonuses that would come along with that accomplishment. So a relatively big story coming out of NASCAR. Denny Hamlin has been moved from third down to sixth. He will likely be unable to win the regular season championship with just a few races remaining in the regular season before we begin the 10 race postseason. Denny Hamlin will have a chance to win the postseason championship, obviously, as he is officially locked in. We have two more regular season races in NASCAR this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. The boys will be down at Daytona for the summer race at the Great American Speedway. And then September 1st, next Sunday, we'll be down the road in South Carolina at Darlington. The Lady in Black will host the final regular season race for the NASCAR season. The playoffs will then begin on the 8th of September with a race right down the road in Atlanta. The playoff schedule is going to be the 8th at Atlanta. September 15th at Watkins Glen will run a race in the nighttime at Bristol on the 21st. The NASCAR Cup Series at Kansas on the 29th, Talladega, October 6th. The Roval at Charlotte, October 13th. NASCAR Cup Series at Las Vegas on the 20th. The final three races of the playoffs will be at Miami Homestead on the 27th, at Martinsdale on November 3rd, and we will crown a new NASCAR Cup champion November 10th when the boys spin circles at Phoenix Raceway out in Arizona. So that's your NASCAR schedule. Denny Hamlin, again, probably not going to be able to win the regular season race. And of course, Stone Cold Steve Austin Dillon will have to pick up a win in one of the next two races if he is going to find his way into the NASCAR playoffs, which start in 3 weeks. So a bit of a NASCAR update for you there. Let's run to our final break of this hour. When we come back here in just a minute, we'll flip it back to college football. The season starts tomorrow with Florida State and Georgia Tech at noon. So what do you as fans need to know? For those of you that are maybe new to the college football landscape, or maybe you've been checked out for a little while and you're just getting back into college football, this year is going to look a little bit different than years gone by. There are a handful of changes to the sport that you may need to be aware of. When we come back, I will put all of them on the table for you, and we'll discuss what they mean for the landscape of college football. That's coming up next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, with you here on the show. If you want to be a part of the show, now's an excellent time to do it. The text line is open for you at 71307. 71307. Texter says, Rob, if they don't actually use playbooks, then what in the world was in Bryce Young's backpack? Lonzo, I will turn you loose. Let's play a game that I don't want to play. What was in Bryce Young's backpack?
Well, first of all, it would be a Switch, not a Xbox or a PlayStation, because Switches are for, you know, for youngers. Also,
Don't you have a Switch?
I do, but I have all game systems except for one, unlike you.
But you do have a Switch. You were just making fun of.
Yeah, I do, but I have the small one. He's got to have the big one, because anyway. So you said let me loose, and then you're going to go at me. So he also has a stack of Mad magazines, because that's what the kids these days are still looking at. He also may have a Max.
They're looking at Mad magazine.
He may have a Maxim switched in there in between, because it starts with an M, in case his mom was to look through, she would just see the M's and not think it was anything else. He also has some of a juice box, except like several juice boxes, because it's going to be a long day. A lunch box, which is a Pokemon lunch box. It's vintage, though, so he has to be careful. He doesn't want it dented in the backpack. Inside, we have the sandwich, which is a very healthy sandwich, crust trimmed off because mom takes care of him, and for some reason, he still doesn't like the crust. There's a lot of things in there. Also, his iPad with his playbook on it. He is not, unlike other short quarterbacks, he's not into playing Call of Duty, so he's good. That's just some of the things that are in there.
Okay. A Nintendo Switch, Pokemon cards, a Pokemon lunchbox. But
I didn't say cards. You did. If he's going to have cards in there, it'd be Magic the Gathering.
No. Magic. No. If you're making jokes about Bryce Young being a child, that's 100% Pokemon. 100%.
Excuse me. I know teenagers and adults that collect Pokemon is big business. So, I mean, if he had Pokemon in there, he would be making some bank off of it, I think is what the kids say these days.
I mean, I never got the Pokemon thing. I got it. I was never a big card battle game guy. You know, Yu-Gi-Oh.
You look like a Yu-Gi-Oh guy. You absolutely look like a Yu-Gi-Oh guy.
Never, none of those have. And I think it's because, like, I don't think this makes me look bad. My dad taught me how to play poker when I was a kid. So, like, if I was playing cards, I was playing poker. I never got it. But I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, like, you had to be thinking about strategy 8, 9, 10 moves out, and that's not my style.
There we go. Not a chess guy. Is that what you're saying?
No. Okay. Not a chess guy.
All right. All right.
And for no other reason that no matter how hard I tried, I just never got good at it. I could try. People could, you got to do this. You got to. Yeah, no. I know. I get it. Like, I understand the concept. I'm just incapable of doing it. That's the problem. I just can't get it done.
It's because
I know what to do. Because I'm just bad at it.
It's errant thoughts and inability to focus. But that's fine. I mean, you know, it's not everyone can do that sort of thing.
I know. No, I'm acknowledging fully that I absolutely cannot. I'm incapable of doing.
I didn't play those games as a Ute because they didn't exist yet, because I'm old.
As a Ute. All right, we have gotten some stuff what we have talked about so far this morning on the show. Text line open again, 71307. Start your text with Fan. FAN texter says, in Bryce Young's backpack. Let's play that game. What was in Bryce Young's backpack, listeners? Oh, God, I'm regretting this already. Texter said, obviously, lift attachments for his cleats.
It's like if you watch wrestling, there are certain wrestlers who think they need to be taller. So if you look at their shoes, like Xavier Woods, you notice that he has like extensions on the shoes. They have their shoes specially made to be a couple inches higher. They're not platforms, but they give you a couple. He probably has some of those for sure.
There are.
I'm going to be watching his cleats tomorrow.
There are politicians who do that too.
Huh?
Gotta be tall. I gotta be the tallest guy. Give me some fake shoes. Gotta be the tallest guy.
All right, you legitimately lost me there, but that's fine.
That's okay. We'll roll on. Text 71307. Start your text with Fan. A texter asked, if they're not using playbooks, what was in Bryce Young's backpack? I will allow you listeners, against my better judgment, to answer that question. What was in Bryce's backpack? Zach says his, oh my God.
See, I don't know what that is either. So, I mean,
his spend a night clothes.
Oh, I get it now. Yeah. You know how you read something, but you don't read it exactly. And then once you said it, now I get it. Okay.
Yeah. If you're going to go somewhere and spend a night, you got to bring the spend a night clothes. Yeah, so Bryce Young's pajamas in there. His Superman pajamas.
Nah, he's
in
got
the backpack.
He's got DBZ pajamas.
Steven said, any chance he has a foldable stool in the backpack? Ugh. I regret this decision. I don't want to do this anymore. This wasn't fun. This was not a fun time for me. His spend a night clothes. That's really good. All right.
That's the only thing I'm going to remember from the show today, probably.
Spend a night clothes.
Yes, that's going to stay with me for a while, I think.
Lonzo, break down the Chiefs preseason game last night. They fall to the Chicago Bears, but I have wonderful news for Chiefs Kingdom. Kadarius Toney is back. Baby,
is he? I mean, he was playing in that game because his job is on the line. I don't know that he's back. And Mecole Hardman was playing in that game too, and he won the Super Bowl last year. So that's how stacked they are at receiver, that those guys are having to play to try to win a roster spot.
Is Kadarius Toney on this team next year?
You mean this year?
Yeah, sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, he might be. When's cut day? Is that Monday?
Sorry, I'm still internally laughing at Bryce Young had his spend a night clothes in the backpack. That's my favorite thing that's happened this week, without a doubt.
Yeah, it's stuck in there. It's stuck. I think cut day is probably Monday. So I mean,
roster cuts are August 27th. So yes, is that Monday or is that Tuesday? That is Tuesday of next week.
Why do they wait till Tuesday to do that? I guess they got to get together Monday and probably have a Sunday off if they already had a game to go over.
There's three games Sunday, including a night game. New England Washington doesn't start until 8 p.m. on Sunday, so it just gives everybody that full Monday to have one last roster evaluation.
All right, we were specifically talking about the Chiefs. I didn't think about the league as a whole. That makes sense that the entire league would have to wait a day to do that, because Brett Veach was on with the guys last night while the game was going on and was talking about cut day and what they have to do, how they have to get together with the coaches and they have to go over everything, and then how they also have to watch where, you know, someone's cut from one team and they have their eye on them, that they can bring them into their team. So a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, for sure. Listen, and I'll tell you, very interesting day this year in Carolina is cut day. Because keep in mind, as well as having the number one overall draft pick, wink, that Carolina had this year, nudge, Carolina is number one in the waiver wire order. So if there is a player that hits waivers this year on cut day, pardon me, that the Panthers are interested in, the Panthers do get first right of refusal for the waiver player of their choice. So this is actually a really big day this year for the Carolina Panthers, because if there are a couple of dudes that don't make rosters elsewhere that are interesting, and that may be very well the case, if there are some dudes that don't make the roster on other squads that end up getting cleared onto waivers, Carolina has first pick of the bunch, and that could be a big deal. We have already seen some very interesting players, including a couple of guys that frankly were expected to make rosters, get cut and room made for salary cap consideration, for roster consideration. Maybe a rook broke out and took their job for half the pay, whatever. So cut day next Tuesday actually really is a very big day for Carolina this year, because they can utilize cut day to make their roster either A, better, or B, deeper. And I think it is wildly important that they do that this year. So we'll see what plays out cut day next Tuesday when teams go. Remember, in the new NFL, cuts go from 90 straight to 53. There is no multiple cuts. It used to be that after every preseason game, you had to cut another 9, 10, 11, 12 guys, and you would go from 90 down to, you know, whatever it was, 90 down to 80, down to 72, down to 53 after the last week. Now you keep that 90-man roster all the way up until one full day passes after the end of the preseason, and you go straight down to 53. And again, Carolina, first on the waiver wire, gets first right of refusal for any players that get waived. So that's going to be interesting. By the way, real quick, while we're talking NFL football to wrap up this hour of the show, Atlanta, the Falcons, still making moves. They have re-signed cornerback A.J. Terrell to a four-year, $81 million contract that includes $65.8 million fully guaranteed, according to Adam Schefter. This represents the largest guarantee ever given to a cornerback attached to a four-year agreement. Terrell is now the second highest paid cornerback on a per-year basis at $20.25 million. That trails only the Packers' Jair Alexander, who makes 21 flat per year. The Falcons announced the four-year deal yesterday afternoon. It runs through 2028. The Falcons did not immediately make the financial terms known, but they were discovered later on and reported by Adam Schefter. So that's a big move for Atlanta. They have got themselves, I think, especially with the addition of Justin Simmons, they've got themselves the best defensive backfield in the NFC South at this point. With Justin Simmons back there, I think they have got the best backline defense, and Terrell is a big part of that reason why. To get him locked up and keep him from bouncing next year, you basically now have one guy. You have one guy you got to keep up with, and that's your two-time Pro Bowler, Justin Simmons. So I would keep an eye on that. I'll see how that plays out.
Are the Falcons slowly becoming a possible contender with all these moves?
Honestly, not. No, there are still some question marks I have. We know Bijan Robinson can run. The offense, I think, is going to be good. I do think the offense is going to be good. I think that there are some spots the Falcons probably still need to upgrade. I think that linebacker position probably needs to get a little bit better. I know the defensive line position did get better with the addition of Matthew Judon. That was a massive pickup. That might be the best preseason pickup at all. But you also still have Grady Jarrett playing at your defensive end. That guy's been probably down. David Onyemata was a guy that got cut from New Orleans And it ain't exactly like it was because New Orleans was stacked. So I still think there are some question marks across the defensive line. I think they're better now at the linebacker position if they are going to indeed run a 3-4. Honestly, they might switch 4-3 this year. We'll find out. But if they're going to run a 3-4, I do think they need to get a little bit better at linebacker. But they're going to be good across the defensive backfield. The problem is I think you can run on Atlanta. And being able to run on a team is how you beat them in the postseason. So we'll find out. Hey, we got 1 hour left. Starting off the next hour, we got the boys from the Moving the Chains pod. We'll talk a little high school football next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
First, we are flashing. The Atlanta Braves won the second game in overall series over the Philadelphia Phillies with a 3-2 win last night on the back of a 9-strikeout night from rookie Spencer Schwellenbach. The Braves had 10 hits, including a 3-for-3, one home run night from Adam Duvall. I don't know if you knew this, but tomorrow marks the beginning of the 2024 college football season with week zero. Florida State and Georgia Tech will kick off the day and the season in Dublin, Ireland at noon, followed up by Montana State at New Mexico at 4, new ACC member SMU at Nevada at 8, and at midnight, Hawaii and Delaware State. Hey, tune in tonight at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels get the high school football season started as they head to T.L. Hanna to take on the Yellow Jackets. It's Burns versus T.L. Hanna right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, The Fan, Upstate.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.